This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A good Thursday morning to all of you, although it feels like Friday, doesn't it? We will not be in with a live show tomorrow. We will be back on Monday because a three-day weekend is ahead of us. Danny, how are you?
Doing all right, my friend. It does. It feels like a Friday for some reason. I think you touched on what the reason is that we're not on tomorrow. It still feels like I am. I keep forgetting that, but I got a nice long weekend. Celebrate American independence in probably the weirdest way of my life. We won't really be doing very much at all. But, it's going to be nice to not have to punch a time clock for a couple days.
Your boy is going to head to the beach for a couple of days. I don't know how much time sitting on sand I'm actually going to have. I like to go to the beach. I don't necessarily love to be on the beach. That's like a hour here or there kind of situation for me.
Okay.
Whereas a lot of people just like to plop down and be there for 10 hours at a time and read books.
I'm one
stuff.
Of those people, by the way. It's all I want to do.
But the wife's parents live in a little water town, a little beach town called Cape Charles in the shore of Virginia. So I am headed that way for a couple of days, and I look forward to that experience every year. It's a tiny little town. They've got ice cream shops and souvenir places, little stores you can walk into and get your little peanuts and different stuff. So it's cool. It's a good look. It's fun. I'll be doing that for a couple of days. So you guys will just kind of be around the house doing more of whatever the last few months have been. Is that kind of
the kind
plan?
Of whatever we've been doing every single day. No, I think we're going to go up just to change the scenery. That's kind of our new thing that we try to do as often as possible. We're going to head up to my mother-in-law's for a couple days just to kind of putz around there. Again, we're going to do the same things there that we do here, but it's just a different place. So hopefully that adventure will just an extra set of hands for the young ones will help. So we are going to expand a little bit. We have not actually seen my brother and sister-in-law and their child. We FaceTimed a million times over, and we basically talk every day, but we haven't actually seen each other yet. So we're going to do that. So this is another big expanding of the circle, which we have been trying to be very careful, like you're supposed to. But we're just trying to make whatever this is last as long as possible.
Which brother and sister-in-law is this?
It's a great question. So it's my wife's brother. So my actual brother-in-law.
This is the guy that I got way too drunk with at Christmas time, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, I think I texted you the day after the party that I was at with you guys, and me and that guy just were at the bar drinking. I don't really get hungover. That was the worst day of my life.
Yeah, that hangover was very real. Yeah, well, that's what happened. I mean, were you drinking the scotch? What were you doing?
I was drinking what I always drink. I was drinking
Jack and Coke.
Old fashions. No, it was old fashions. At like a party like that, I was drinking old fashioned. But
sure.
It was a rough day. So let him know that I still think about him on occasion when I think about how awful I felt that next day. But that was a fun time. He's a cool guy. All right, so I've got a wacky story from yesterday for you.
Drop it.
I figure we could start right here.
I love it.
So I drove home yesterday afternoon. When I say home, not to my house, but to my parents' house where I grew up. So to their home and, King George County. My mom and my dad were hanging out around their pool, and we wanted to go take my mom and celebrate something going on with them. So we, my wife, I say we a lot when my wife does something, but she made brownies, so we made brownies. And
We're pregnant.
Yeah, we did that. She didn't let me eat any of them. I wanted to eat a bunch of them before we got in the car. That was not allowed. So she made brownies, and we went down. We were going to get them dinner wherever they wanted to get dinner and just go down and hang out, take the baby, get in the pool, whatever. So I'm going to pick up dinner. After we'd gotten there, we'd swum a little bit, you know, dry off, get in the car, go pick up dinner now, and I'm in King George. And I'm in this place where there's a sign when you walk in that says masks are required. I'm in a mask. Everyone else working there and just standing around waiting for their food or whatever for takeout is in a mask, except for this one guy. He's kind of looking at me, and I'm like, this guy's kind of eyeing me a little bit, okay? So he's like, he's not in a mask, very comfortable not in a mask, it would appear. And like my first thought looking at him, this is now where your head is, like that guy's not in a mask. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just looking at me, and I see him talking to his wife, and I'm like, I wonder what this guy is saying about me, because it's clearly about me. You know what I'm talking about when you can just tell that someone's talking about you. It's not just you're in the room while they're talking, but it's very clear this guy is saying something about me.
Yeah, and now I even overdo that. In other words, when they're not talking about me, I actually now kind of assume because my radar is up high enough. Does that make any sense? Like I probably, for every one person that's talking about me, I think there's another two that are because I'm so insecure.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm probably wrong on that, but yes, I get that feeling.
And I know exactly what you're saying, but I would have bet every penny that this time he was talking about me, that I'm not just being overzealous in my allegation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being paranoid. So I get a cup, and I go over to get an unsweet iced tea because this place has great iced tea.
Sure.
And the iced tea is over near this guy. And he's like, hey, boy, or something along those lines. Like, hey, man. And I, like, turn around, and we're now going to engage. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, whatever he was saying. And he goes, someone's going to spray paint your shirt soon. And I'm like, what? And I look down. I'm wearing the shirt that the listener, Hall of Famer of the Grant and Danny radio show, Richmond John, gave me a while back. It's a hilarious shirt. It says Grant on it, and it's a picture of Ulysses S. Grant. Okay?
Yes.
So for those of you that don't know, Ulysses S. Grant, a former president of the United States, the 18th president of this year country, was, I don't know that I was necessarily named after him because my parents like love Grant in any way. I don't think they know a lot about Ulysses S. Grant, but my middle name is Harrison. My first name is Grant. They wanted to do like a presidential theme bit that I now carry on with my baby named Reagan and future babies, hopefully named after presidents, whatever. But the point of this is to tell you that he was an American soldier and a politician, and before becoming the president of the United States, he led the Union Army, commanding general for the United States Army, and helped to win the Civil War, right? I wasn't wearing the short shirt as an endorsement of the Union Army at a time where everyone's kind of coming out against the Confederacy.
But if there's a side to be on, that's probably
right,
the okay one.
Right, this is the one that's okay. But the point is, I don't think about it when I put this T-shirt on. It's literally, no disrespect to our guy John, because I love this shirt. I wear it all the time. It's funny. It's ironic. It's like a black and white shirt with just a big picture of an old guy's face, and it says Grant under it. And I think it's hilarious. But I wear it because it's comfortable, and it's a good shirt. I like it.
You don't
have
to justify wearing a T-shirt. Yeah, exactly. I like it. I like the way it feels. No, it's a T-shirt, and it's fun.
But also, this was a day where I was going to my parents' house to swim in a pool. I'm throwing the shirt on the ground. I'm picking it up. I'm putting it back on. And I'm wearing American flag bathing suit trunks and flip-flops in this place. Like, I'm not dressed for success, right? So anyway, so then I look down and I see that I'm wearing this Grant shirt. And I look back up and I'm like, huh? And the guy goes, someone's going to come spray paint your shirt, man. And I said, oh, no, they won't be doing that. This guy fought for the North. He was on the good side. So that's
–
threw my mask to this guy who's not wearing a mask. I said, no, he was on the good side. He was on the North. So I think I'm fine. No one's going to mess with me. And he goes, I don't think it matters, man. I don't think it matters anymore. And I was like, well, hopefully people know their history or, hopefully everything. He's like, nobody knows their history, man. And he just kind of shook his head at me in disgust.
Like this was your fault.
Right, and then as I'm like finishing up getting my tea, he just kind of like laughs a bit. Now, when I left a few minutes later, I will say we shared a wave. Like I waved at the guy in a weird way.
Okay.
I was like, "See you later," and he like smiled and waved back at me. And so our interaction, I guess, was certainly wasn't hostile. It was more him making an observation that the world is changing around us. But I now have to wonder, like, should I not wear this shirt? Because this guy clearly didn't know that he was with the union. And also, it might not even matter if you're union or Confederacy, because he's just from a time that wasn't great. Like, he was born, he served as the VP in 1869, and he was the president, you know, the next year after that in 1870. So, like, do I just have to retire this shirt now? This black and white shirt with Grant on it? Maybe I do. I certainly never want another interaction like the one I had yesterday. And yeah, if my goal is to avoid those, do I get rid of that shirt?
You can't wear it.
Then maybe the answer is yes.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say keep the shirt, at least for now. It's basically it is so painfully awkward. Like, one of the great Americans of all time, by the way. Like, a pretty sterling record when it comes to what he did, his life and times. If we can't all get behind Ulysses S. Grant, what are we doing? You know, the guy going, I don't think it matters. Maybe it does. Maybe it does to a lot of people.
Maybe it doesn't
to some. Yeah, maybe
well,
there's some people that are just angry
because
it was pre-1900. I don't know.
I said, hopefully people know their history. You know, he was on, and I think it was probably the wrong term, honestly, to oversimplify this and say good versus bad. That's not fair. But I may have even said good, or I might have said he was on the North. He was on the side that people aren't mad at or something like that. And he just goes, yeah, I don't think real people care about that. And I was like, hopefully people know their history. You know, and he's like, nope, nobody does. Like, it was just the weirdest interaction. I only tell this story to say it was the strangest. I've never thought once about putting that T-shirt on.
I've never thought
once about anybody possibly being upset by it. But he was like eyeing me from across this place and talking to his wife for like minutes. And then when I go over, he pounces on the opportunity while I'm getting this tea to get his zing in, you know. It was whatever that was would be great to not have happen again. And I don't know. Does that happen every time I wear this shirt now? It's something I have to wonder about.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it, because you're right. At best case scenario, you don't have any interaction.
Nobody bothers me.
You just wear a shirt that no one approaches you with, like, the weird idea that someone's going to spray paint your shirt. I don't know. Just everything about, like, this is where we are in the world right now. Where it's like, hopefully that's as bad as it gets. But, like, what's on the table is way different. Man, is that weird.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. We are underway on this Thursday, feeling like a Friday on 106.7 The Fan. Guys, Grant Paulson for Lindsay Chevrolet. July 4th savings are underway at lindsaychevy.com. New heavy and light duty Silverado trucks, now up to $15,000 off MSRP. New Chevy Tahoes and Suburbans, up to $9,000 off MSRP. Camaros, Malibus, Trax, $8,000 off MSRP. Equinox, Blazers, Traverse, $8,000 off MSRP is the best you can get there. And if you're qualified as a buyer, you can get 0% financing for 72 months or make no payments for 120 days over a quarter of a year. That's pretty cool. Lindsay always makes you save more, and they're going to let you save more right now. Declare your independence from retail pricing. Shop now. My buddy Paul Smith is the GM. Go check him and Lindsay Chevy out in Woodbridge, or go to lindsaychevy.com. Just like your boy GP, you will love it at Lindsay. Week, 7 days from now to this minute, they've decreased in only New Jersey, Delaware, and Washington, D.C. I think we celebrate that, right? Or does that just mean we had a lot a week ago? I'm not really sure, but we are broadcasting to a base of listeners who are in the one area here of 3 out of 51 in this country where right now the trend is down. So I would say that's healthy. That's good.
I'm looking for things to be happy about. So boom goes the dynamite. That's in spite of the fact, by the way, in spite of the fact that this selfish, rich socialite, you know what, held a big party in her backyard as a fundraiser for the Washington Ballet and got a bunch of people sick. That's in spite of that fact.
I haven't heard that story at all. What's that about?
Oh, it's a story, man. You don't have to dig too far to find it. So not far from where I am, where the houses are absurd, by the way. I mean, you want to get into the neighborhood, you got to start with about $2.5 million. They go up to 10, 12, 16, 17 and a half. I mean, just ridiculous mansions that you wouldn't believe exist in the nation's capital, right? It's as posh a neighborhood as there is in the world. And this lady is doing some kind of big fundraiser, you know, whatever, couple thousand bucks a plate, or you know, show up and party in my giant extravagant backyard, pat myself on the back that I'm doing good, but it's really like a big socialite function. So she's raising money for the Washington Ballet, and I guess had symptoms and wasn't like keeling over with the symptoms.
She had symptoms before she threw the party?
I think. So the timeline is a little bit hazy, but the point is, like, the tip is that her, like, her kid was saying to somebody, yeah, my mommy doesn't feel well, or something like that, right?
Oh,
and then then it starts the investigation. Next thing you know, this woman is basically holding a giant, you know, thumb your nose at the commoner's party. Let's all raise money for this so people can do twinkle toes, and probably infected dozens of people. In spite of that, D.C.'s still down, so that's good.
Is there currently a restriction, Virginia, Maryland, D.C., any of them, on number of people who can do things? I would think that that's still in play, but I don't know based on which phase we're in, because I had seen there was like an outdoor wedding. I'm guessing somewhere around here based on the pictures I was seeing on my timeline with people that I know. But are you allowed now outdoors, quote unquote, with distancing? Can you have as many people as you wanted? Like if you wanted to have a cookout and you had a big open backyard, could you have 75 people over this weekend to do that for the 4th of July?
Great question by you. I don't know. I don't know what the rules
remember,
are.
Legally, at one point, you weren't allowed to have more than, I think, 10 people over.
10 people,
and, like,
yeah.
People were having bonfires with, like, 12 people sitting around fire, and neighbors were calling the cops on them and stuff. And, like, that was happening all over the area. And I remember a bunch of those stories that came out. Where, like, my neighbor had a cookout and had a birthday party for his 9-year-old, and they had 11 kids there. And, like, they were, you know, cops were coming to, like, break up the party and stuff. Mm-hmm. Are we still there?
Again, I don't know the rules. I mean, the other night, we moved into our place where we are now in September. So we don't, you know, we know some names and we know our neighbors a little bit. You just sort of inevitably see them. But there have been people who have been here for, you know, 10, 12, 14 years, right? And everybody knows each other very well. A lot of the kids play together and, you know, people are friends and you know, they're not really friends with us yet, right? Just it's cordial. Anyway, the point is, the other night, our neighbors that are behind us, very nice folks, they've got a kid who's a little bit older than our oldest. They had like an outback sort of barbecue kind of dinner party for a bunch of folks. So there were like 14 people there, including kids, is my guess. And I remember thinking, I'm fine with this, by the way. All these people know each other. These are all responsible, smart, you know, good, well-meaning folks. And they know each other and they trust everybody else that's here. They don't know us very well. But I'm wondering, I found myself wondering that. I'm going, well, what are the rules? Are they allowed to do that? I'm not reporting anybody. I'm not going to narc anyone out. But I'm like, what? Is that cool? What distancing are they practicing? And I find myself like trying to peer over the like Wilson on Home Improvement, trying to peer over to figure out what the hell is going on.
Isn't that so strange now?
But it's so strange.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
The other thing that's funny, you mentioned like moving into your neighborhood, and there's a couple neighbors, you know. So we moved during the pandemic over the last couple months. I don't even remember when. I think around April or something. Late April. But when we moved, so we meet our immediate neighbors to our right the first day we move. In fact, before we were even there and moved into the home, like my wife was outside and our neighbor, who's a really nice guy, came over and introduced himself. And so we know them very well at this point. Our dogs play and we chat with them each time, you know, we're outside, whatever. The house to my left, I've met the person very, very, very nice, like the 3 seconds I met them. Getting out of the car. I have not seen them since. They're never outside. Like they come and go and go to work and go home and do whatever they do in their home. But that's it. Like a 3-second interaction the first day I was there when they were getting out of their car and I was getting out of my car. Haven't seen them since. And then there's another couple, a few houses down, that's been really, really nice to us that we're friends with. Went over to their house for dinner last week and have gotten to know. But otherwise, we've been here for months and like we don't know almost anyone, even in our little, I won't call it a cul-de-sac, but all the houses kind of facing each other. Like in the movies and the TV shows back in the day, you could go to any of those houses for milk and sugar, and like you'd have them all over every Thursday some type of progressive dinner where you do like apps at my house and dinner at the house next to ours and dessert at the house next to that. That's just not how the world works anymore, or at least where I've lived, that is just not what happens. Like we've got the people next to us that are very nice. We've got the couple 5 houses down that are excellent and wonderful. And this is not to say anybody's doing anything wrong. But, like, every other person in the neighborhood, I'd have to probably give them $5 if I walk by while they're, like, spraying their plants with water. for them to come over and have a discussion, which is perfectly fine. But my point is, either the movies or the TV shows lied, or times have changed. I'm not sure which it is.
I know. I wonder which one it is. I mean, I remember, obviously, like, you know, growing up, there were certain neighbors that you were cool with, and there was always the, like, well, this person had a dispute about their tree near the fence with this person, and we're allied with the aggrieved person because of a previous incident. So there are always, like, certain conflicts in that way. But, yeah, for the most part, like, that's where your friends were. You know, it was like you grew up, and, you know, during summer days, where it was just the summer seemed to last forever. Now the summer's like an hour and a half. But summers, like, seemed to go on forever. And whoever woke up first, you would just go to the other person's house and spend all day going between the houses and, you know, riding your bike and just kind of doing whatever. That seems unfathomable to me now as a parent. You know, it's just, it's different. I don't know why exactly. Maybe we know too much, or we think we know too much about stuff. But now everything's like, if kids are going to play together, we need a coordinated play date. Now, obviously not, forget about pandemic times. But, like, normally it's like, let's exchange 90 emails or texts or figure things out. So I'll drop him off with his peanut-free snack at this point, and I'll pick him up. It used to be just so casual. It's not casual now.
Yeah, there's nothing casual about where you live and the relationship with the neighbors. I know, though, that I had it. This was in an apartment, so it was a little bit different. But I had a disaster of a situation when I was in an apartment with a person, and they actually lived directly under us. I mean, a petrifying, like, you just hoped you didn't see this person kind of experience. And, I mean, this guy would come up, and I'm not doing a bit. He came upstairs to complain one time that he could hear our bathroom fan on and asked us to turn it off. So you've got the little switch in your bathroom,
yeah,
so
yeah.
You can turn on a fan to, like, make it smell a little better after people go to the bathroom or whatever.
Sure.
Apparently the bathroom fan had been left on too long for this guy, and he could hear it downstairs. Like, this is the type of interaction that we would have with this guy who lived under us. Like, if the bathroom fan's a problem, imagine, I don't know, walking around or anything like that. And everything was an issue. So when you've dealt with that, just having neighbors who aren't jerks and basically allow you to live your life in your home is kind of the goal. Now, that's the bar now, so I'll take that. But yeah, we're still, I guess, getting to know and to meet all the people that live around us. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We got a pretty cool guest coming up at 11. We'll tell you about that next. Also, we can get into a story coming out about the Redskins' name that could be the one way that really Dan Snyder finds himself on the losing side of this thing. We'll do that as we continue on GND. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. At 11 o'clock, about 25 minutes from now, Bob Kendrick's going to be on the show. He's the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. They're celebrating 100 years this year since the Negro Leagues started playing a century ago. And this week they had a really cool campaign they did with four former presidents, kind of tipping their cap to the Negro Leagues among a bunch of celebrities. And it's a shame, Danny, because their year-long celebration that they were going to do at all the ballparks with all the teams is getting wiped out. I feel awful about it. And it's just bad luck for Bob Kendrick, who's the president. But anyway, they've got some other things that they're doing virtually and from afar, and this Tip Your Cap campaign really made it a national story this week. So we'll have him on to discuss 100 years and the celebration of the Negro Leagues at 11 o'clock in 25 minutes here on G&D. Looking forward to chatting with him. What I saw yesterday on the Redskins' name change front was interesting, because I think you and I, I won't put words in your mouth. I'll ask you in a second. I've always thought the Redskins were not going to change their name because Dan Snyder had no interest. You know, the put it in all caps USA Today thing from years ago kind of crystallized for me that Snyder, as long as he's the president, is just not going to do it. It doesn't matter how loud the calls get for him to change the name. Doesn't matter how many people get upset with him. But the one way that I've always said it was possible is if advertisers start pooling their advertisement money. And if they start getting together and saying, you know what, we're not going to be the official soda or pizza company of the Washington Redskins or whatever it is until they change their name. Which has never really seemed like it was going to happen, but it's the one way I could see it taking place. And yesterday I saw this report from NBC Sports that an investment firm and its shareholders worth a collective $620 billion have asked Nike, FedEx, Pepsi, and other companies with relationships with the Redskins to no longer invest the $620 billion with the team, I guess, over X amount of years with their contracts or what have you, and all the money that are invested, unless the team changes its name. So I guess to clear it up, the point being, these people that are very expensive and very powerful and have a lot of money have gotten together to basically say, hey, Nike, hey, FedEx, hey, Pepsi, you guys are on the wrong side of this thing. And I'm not sitting here telling you what should happen, Danny, but I am saying if these companies start to get on the side of Peter King or, you know, some of the folks in the national media who don't use the name, who just say that, yeah, you know what, we can't be associated with this name, that's when Dan Snyder would be forced, I think, to make a change. It's the only way I can see it happening. And it seems like at least that's the next plan of attack for people who want the name changed.
Yeah, this to me has always been about one thing, and I think you touched on it. And I don't mean to be glib about it. Where will he make more money? Right now, and throughout his past, Dan Snyder believes that the name Redskins will make him more money. If that changes tomorrow, I think you would finally see the reason to change. And I don't mean to diminish anybody's feelings or the cause or how correct some folks think they are. And that's all well and good. That's what this country is all about. You don't like something, you can try to seek to change it. The simple fact has always been to me that this was a lot of gum flapping over nothing. This was a lot of people that are angry throwing up, paper airplanes at a giant tower and hoping that it would come crashing down from the goodwill of the guy that's at the top of the tower that he built to fortify himself. This was a big waste of time. It was just screaming to hear yourself scream, and it was a self-congratulatory exercise so that you could feel good about yourself and that you had carried this crusade. This is different. This, and again, I don't know if it happens tomorrow, but this is the path. This, to me, has always been the path. Whether, enough people at enough high levels can point to a specific examples, because one of the things cited in this in these letters is Pepsi Company, who owns a lot of subsidiaries, changing the Aunt Jemima logo as an example of, here's something that is a bad caricature, here's something that is offensive to some folks, you changed it. This is the same thing, apply the same logic. Once sponsors go away and there aren't enough to come sweeping in, that's when the change gets made. So, yeah, this is significant to me. And some people may just roll their eyes and say, no, it's not. I'm telling you, this is significant.
Yeah, it's a huge deal, I think. I mean, you're talking about when you get money and powerful, influential people involved, all of a sudden, you know, things start to become serious. You know, whether that's fair or not, that's kind of how society works at this point. And this report from Adweek is that as of last Friday, 6 days ago, 87 investment firms and shareholders worth over $620 billion signed off on these letters to be sent to these companies, among them Pepsi and FedEx and Nike, saying, hey, we want you guys to break off your affiliations with the Redskins. 87 investment firms and shareholders signed these three letters. And as you said, they point out little things like what you said about Pepsi and Aunt Jemima, but you said something that I'm not sure I completely agree with. I want to go back to. You said that you think as soon as financially it doesn't make sense for Dan Snyder to keep the name Redskins, he'll kind of flip his tune and they'll be the Washington whatevers, which I think is how this is going to happen eventually, for the record. I do believe that. But you think he would, to him, this isn't a principled thing where his flag's just in the ground and he's not going to make a change? I don't necessarily think this is about money. And that isn't to say that he won't make a different decision when all of these advertisers pull out. But what I'm trying to say is, I guess, I think to him, he grew up a fan of the Redskins. You know, the way that he views the world and the way that he probably thinks, whatever cloth he's cut from, you're not going to make me change my company's name. I think this is a flag in the ground kind of principled stance that he has, that this name is not bad. There's nothing wrong with this name. I don't think this is just a money decision for him.
So I think he thinks that, but I think he doesn't have principles. I think as soon as it's more profitable, I don't mean like a cent more, you know, like and it's probably not $100 more. This is, we're talking about tens of millions that it would probably take, and it would have to, you know, hit him in the face like a wet fish. for him to kind of wake up and realize it. And he would probably still claw at the cliff that he's falling down, trying to get it back the other way. I don't mean like it's an instantaneous thing where someone, an accountant comes to him and says, "Mr. Snyder, we can make $10 more if you change the name." I don't mean that. That's hyperbolic. I mean, eventually, when the sponsors go away and the team value doesn't go up the same way that it has over the course of his terrible ownership, that to me is going to end any kind of principle. I think he said what he said because it was the red meat that Redskins fans wanted to hear in his mind. I think that's what this was all about for him. Yeah, he likes the name Redskins. Yeah, he likes the team. He likes owning the team that he grew up as a fan of, but he likes billions more. And I think that's what will eventually happen, right? If indeed it goes down this path where sponsors go away, the money coming in is less, they can't operate it the way that he would like to operate, he can't go back to RFK, which the deputy mayor said unequivocally, there's no viable path locally or federally for the Redskins to return to Washington, D.C. without first changing the name. I mean, that's like as unequivocal as you can make that. If the stadium doesn't get built, whatever it is, if it's costing them hundreds of millions of dollars, I don't think there's enough principle to change that.
I agree with that. I mean, he's going to make the change for that reason when that happens. Yesterday, to me, though, when I saw this story, was a pretty groundbreaking moment in this whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think it should start sounding the alarm a little bit for people who are worried. If you're on the side that you say you don't want the name change, yesterday was bad for you. Because when you start to attack the sponsors, when you really start to attack the shareholders, I think that's when something could change here. Now, it's not the first time this has happened. I think there's a lot of people that have had the foresight to say, you know, if we could get Pepsi and we could get Nike and we could get FedEx, some of these other companies to break ties with the Redskins like they did with Tiger Woods after he got in trouble, or any of these other, you know, people when it was no longer good for that business to be tied to someone. I think people have known for a while that that would be bad news for the Skins, but have you had $620 billion worth of 87 investment firms and shareholders behind that effort? You haven't until Friday. What do you guys think? 800-636-1067. Note that we are not asking you if the Redskins should change their name or not. That's not really the debate. We've had that debate ad nauseum and over the years quite a bit on this show and on other shows like it. What we're asking you is, how big of a deal is this report from Adweek that was circulated yesterday, that $620 billion worth of shareholders and investors have come out and asked Nike and FedEx and Pepsi to distance themselves from the Redskins? Is this just another story and there are a lot of them that will come over the years, or is this a big deal? Which is what I and Danny seem to think it is. 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. You can call us at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. That's the way you get through on the show today on G&D. 12 minutes from now at 11 o'clock, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum joins us as they're celebrating a 100-year anniversary, and this week have an initiative that's made its way all around baseball. But, Danny, right now we're talking about the fact, though, that investors have come out to ask some of the more powerful companies that sponsor the Redskins to distance themselves from the team until it changes its name and how big a deal that is.
The thing that's on the table here, and this is where kind of the pathway that a lot of folks saw forward, right? Whether it was small groups, relatively small, and again, not to diminish their hurt or their feelings, but relatively small groups trying to basically convince Dan Snyder to do the right thing. And frankly, that's not a path towards success. You're not going to get what you want. Like for me, I wanted to hire a general manager. I know it's not the same for his entire ownership. We're 0 for that. We got Bruce Allen, and that was the best case scenario, right? This is not a guy that's going to do what people want. He's going to do what Dan Snyder wants. So trying to go that route was never going to happen. Affecting purse strings, affecting the Redskins' value, and all his wealth is basically tied to the Redskins. Every other project he's had from Six Flags beyond since his Snyder Communications has pretty much failed and gone bankrupt, and nobody likes him in that regard. This is where everything he is tied to. You start affecting things that way at the corporate level, maybe this is how that change might get affected. So you've got this group, three letters signed by 87 investment firms and shareholders, okay, with the, and I'm a little unclear as to actually what this group is, if they're informal or whatever, but you basically have a group that's got a huge money sway behind it, okay, of 87 investment firms totaling $620 billion.
Having read this, this was my guess. I just think it's a group that's getting together to do whatever this is, where you put a little heat on these companies, and it won't just be the Redskins.
This is how we feel.
Exactly. And it's the Redskins right now. Maybe they do 10 different battles and fights with different names or companies at once. But right now it's the Redskins, and then they'll move on to the next one. And they are just trying to enact change, and they're putting all of their money behind that cause. The question
I don't know
is,
if they're sending letters to the Braves or the Cleveland Indians. Like, I don't know. I don't know if they're done, if they did their work and they're going to disband, or if there's more. I don't know.
But the big, I think, question for you guys at 800-636-1067, I see this and I go, this is now something that could actually lead to a name change, in my opinion. If these companies pull out, that is when you'd see Dan Snyder change his tune. Do you guys see it that way, or do you just see this as the story today on July 2nd, 2020, and a year from now, something else like this will come out, and it'll just go that way forever, and they'll keep being named the Redskins? Let's go to line one. Daryl's in Ashburn on G&D. What's up, Daryl? Thank you for the phone call. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Like, I was just I was thinking, like, when I first heard this story, just like yesterday, like most everybody else, my first thought was, I know that Nike signed a contract with the NFL, and I'm pretty for sure FedEx has a contract with the Redskins for the stadium name. So I was like, even if investors say, oh, yeah, you want to distance yourself from the name, it's not like those companies can just pull out, because the Nike sponsors everything in the NFL clothing-wise. So just because they don't like the name of one team, you can't say, oh, yeah, we're going to stop making the jerseys for everybody, or we're not going to make the jerseys for the Redskins. Because you already signed the contract. You signed the contract knowing that their name is Redskins.
Well, don't those companies have contracts with Tiger Woods when they pull out after he gets in big trouble? When they distance themselves from a guy who gets whatever the story is. I don't want to go through all the specifics, but you see this all the time. I mean, Under Armour signed a contract with UCLA. Is trying to get out of the deal right now. You see this in sports a lot.
You see it normally with individuals, but not like a – like as far as the NFL, you have 32 other entities. It's not like
right. So
the, and on top
so,
of that,
so Nike wouldn't pull out from
it's
the
a good
NFL, right? But to your point, and stay on the line, we can keep going back and forth. But what I'm trying to say is, they have separate deals with the Redskins specifically. So what you're saying is 100% correct. Nike makes the jerseys for all the teams, and the official sponsor of the NFL for whatever it is that they do, right? I'm talking about Nike also has deals with the Redskins specifically. And I think just like FedEx or any of these other pizza companies, or you see like the official coffee, the Washington Redskins, Nike has that deal as well, and they're saying get rid of that deal.
I'm sure they could probably try that, but he's not going to end up with Nike, and that's going to be a bigger mess for everybody just being in court with the situation. I'm sure Nike has more money overall than the Redskins, but how much are you willing to spend on fighting this case?
Daryl, it's a good call, buddy.
Great
Thank
question.
You for making it, man. Appreciate,
appreciate you.
So,
but remember,
here's what I would say, Jeeves. Go ahead.
Danny, they got $760 billion or whatever it was that we just read in investors backing them. Dan Snyder's worth, what did we say recently when we went through the owner stuff? Was it $2 billion? Something like that,
yeah, somewhere in there.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it's clout. But
so I'm not worried about how much Dan Snyder's willing to spend on this thing. If he's got to go toe-to-toe financially with them, good luck.
Well, that's has been a tactic of the Redskins and him before, is to threaten people with meaningless lawsuits or bully them in court, knowing that they couldn't fight for themselves. See, the Washington City Paper is the best example, and things that their PR staff were saying, which should have been behind closed doors, but somehow would get out that, we can afford this and you can't, type deals. But just in terms of contracts, these are not lifetime deals. There are things expire, things get renegotiated, things get renewed. I mean, I used to go to Redskins games, Mark Kessler, I believe, was the guy doing the in-stadium announcements, and he'd go, here comes a Popeyes, third down, or whatever the hell it was, right? That goes away. That's gone if this sort of technique works, right? The in-stadium concessions, it's no longer Pepsi. It's off-brand, home soda brew, whatever it is. It's not every contract that's signed isn't some sort of lifetime guarantee that money is going to be coming in. The NFL, it's a complicated deal because they're one organization with 32 different franchises. It's like when you say, this Subway down the street from me, I don't like the way that they're doing business, so I'm going to go after them. Now you got to go after Subway corporate, dude. That's like the bigger deal, right? That's sort of what Daryl was talking about here. But individually, teams sell marketing. Teams sell their own sponsorships. They sell all these different things. The preseason, Kenny Albert brought to you by Papa John's. They're asking for that stuff to go away. There's plenty of room for this avenue to go down for money to get removed from sponsorships is my only point.
Mo's in Largo on line three. What's up, Mo? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. I think this could be the beginning of a significant snowball, to be honest with you, because I know it's a small story here, but once this thing makes it on the airwaves of the, you know, the nationally televised shows, because they literally have nothing to talk about, they can harp on this for a week or two, you know, and then especially if you have some more marketable names that, you know, comment on it. So, you know, in a day and age where, you know, hashtags can get really heavy with regards to motivating people to make changes, I could see that this could definitely gain some momentum as it proceeds through time. Because, like I said, they don't have anything to talk about. So they would love to talk about this. And the more attention that is paid to it from that level, it kind of transcends down. And, you know, people are about change now. You know what I'm saying? And if you think about it, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but, I mean, didn't they just remove a statue from a guy that I guess was he a part of the original ownership of the Redskins? Am I wrong in that?
No, he was the original owner. Thanks for the call, Mo.
Preston right.
Marshall, that brought the team to Washington, D.C., and he was a racist. And, yeah, they did remove his statue, and they're taking him out of the Ring of Fame. So they're making some of their own changes. Look, no hashtag or kind of movement from a loud minority on social media is going to get them to change their name. We know that. That's been the case for a long time. But what about when money's involved? What about when companies pull out? That's the big question. And that after yesterday is something that could actually start happening. More on this as the day continues. Bob Kendrick joins us next. He's the president of the Negro League Baseball Museum. We're great today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.